Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app, your online home for all things Penn State football. We got a big weekend to recap, Lash Bash weekend. Greg Pickle is on the phone right now, just waiting for me to shut up and have his turn. We'll talk to him all about that. Maybe touch on some of the things from Big Ten Media Days. There seemed to be quite a few little after effects of Lash Bash weekend, even if it didn't result in any additional commitments, though they did get one from Emory Simmons, a three-star wide receiver from North Carolina. So we'll discuss all those things. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 will join us, probably to do the same thing, talk Lash Bash with us, and then we'll round out the show with Ask Dustin instead of Ask Greg, since Greg is still making his way home from Chicago. How are we this morning, Greg?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing well here. Thanks.
Good, good. Well, I'm sure you're following along, but Penn State gets commitment number 13 from Emory Simmons, who's an interesting player who initially committed to Indiana, then flipped to North Carolina. Now he is a Penn State commit. Where did this come from, Greg? Did you anticipate it?
Yeah, you know, sometimes the recruiting game is interesting, Dustin. You can see things on the horizon. You can expect things to happen. And I think when you get to Lash Bash weekend, you always assume that someone's going to commit, that someone's going to come on board. But if you would have given me a chance to pick seven or eight names, it would be a part of the likely commit group. I don't think I would have had Emory Simmons on as a 6-foot, 180-pound receiver that has now flipped twice because he was previously committed to Indiana. And he flipped that pledge to North Carolina. And now, of course, he flips to Penn State. So the question you have to ask yourself is he done flipping, or is Penn State his final destination? I mean, all of his comments seem to indicate that Penn State will be his final destination, but you always just wonder, based on the fact that, again, once you flip twice, what's to make you, definitely stop and not flip again? So we'll see how it all plays out. I think it does make sense for Penn State, though. Obviously, you know, John Dunmore, the other receiver already in this class, it's sort of similar in a sense that there's worries about him maybe decommitting. So I think you take both of these guys, you still recruit David Bell too, of course, the Indianapolis wide receiver who was on campus, and you really just sort of see what happens. But no, I did not see Emory Simmons being the one and only commit coming out of this big weekend.
Yeah, there are definitely names higher on the list, and I think recruiting does have a way of humbling you a little bit, and things happen you just can't see coming. He's an interesting player. He ran a 4.47 in the 40 leading up to the opening, where he did participate in Dallas. His speed is on his side. I do like his film other than that too. What is your take here on, you mentioned David Bell, and we'll talk about him in just a moment, but the idea here of Penn State getting three wide receivers in this class? I know that there's some threat, especially with John Dunmore. Florida State comes knocking. We've discussed that before. Emory Simmons, you know, this is his third school he's committed to, so there's a little bit of risk, I suppose, there. But is Penn State targeting three here? Is three a number that they're circling and they must get three?
Yeah, you know, I think that it sort of looks that way at this point, which I think is a little bit surprising, because I think with what Penn State did as a receiver position in the last two cycles, it really gave them the opportunity, or at least I thought it gave them the opportunity, to not have to go out and get multiple wide receivers in this class. But instead, you know, we see what they did now, where they're still going to recruit John Dunmore. They're obviously still going to recruit Emory Simmons, even though both are committed. I think they're both guys you have to keep an eye on throughout the process. And then, again, you know, with David Bell, they're still going to try and get him too. So, yeah, it's starting to look that way, and it's interesting because I don't think many would have forecasted that back when the cycle began.
The other thing that came from this, Greg, we've talked a bunch of times about the state of Pennsylvania talent in the 2019 class, and I think really even the more immediate areas around Pennsylvania. So Penn State has had this interesting position where they've had to kind of cobble together their class and push into other territories and recruit. You know, they got more talent out of Virginia. There's talent from Florida. 13 commits from 8 different states by my count. What are your thoughts on what that, you know, how that fits into Penn State's big picture recruiting? Because my potential takeaway here is this is about as down, quote unquote, as Penn State is going to get, and they are on their way to another top 10 class.
Yeah, I mean, James Franklin talked about this quite a bit at Big Ten Media Days, and I don't have the quote directly in front of me, but, I mean, he was pretty clear about the fact that most years they expect to take a majority of their kids from Pennsylvania and the surrounding, 350-mile radius from campus, and it's just not necessarily the case this year. I mean, you get a couple of guys that fit that mold, and of course you have Keaton Ellis, the lone Pennsylvania native who's also a commit, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, as we talked, there's still opportunity for Pennsylvania kids to pop on board. Joey Porter Jr. has an offer. Aaron Young, the Coatesville running back, has an offer. I mean, I think that it's not the end-all, be-all in terms of, wow, this could be a first time in a long time if Penn State has just one Pennsylvania commit. But it's certainly not a big year, a strong year for the state. James Franklin talked a lot about them being flexible with the program because of that. And I think it's worked out so far. It's something you're going to have to do, especially as you want to get more and more four- and five-star prospects. You're not always going to come from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Virginia, and North Carolina. So you have to adapt and be able to recruit outside your home base. It's why we've seen them bring in, obviously, Jawan Sider and pull with Florida, and Terry Smith has good pull in Texas. And, you know, there's some guys in the Midwest as well that will eventually fit the five-star mold. So flexibility is the key here. James Franklin likes it with the recruits he brings in. He also likes when his staff has it, and they certainly have it in this recruiting class.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking about the Lash Bash, Penn State recruiting with Greg Pickle, who's on the phone with us. David Bell, who we mentioned earlier, Greg, a four-star wide receiver, really good player from the state of Indiana. Also on campus for Lash Bash, Steve Wilfong from 247 Sports has been really in the know for a while on David Bell, and he came out of the Lash Bash weekend putting in a crystal ball pick for Penn State. What are your thoughts here? Is the tide turning in Penn State's direction?
Well, you know, I think that if it was always the way this recruitment looked at, there was no chance that David Bell was going to go to Purdue over Penn State or Ohio State or some of the other high-profile schools that offer him. So, I mean, I think in that regard it makes sense, considering that at one point the sort of going rate was that he was probably going to go to Purdue, and that just really didn't make a whole lot of sense. But for, you know, the predictions start coming in for Penn State this quickly, it tells me that he had a really tremendous visit to campus, and that, you know, at the end of the day, Penn State, like it always does, really put on a show for him and his family. And it probably left him feeling pretty good about where things stood within the program and where things stood with, you know, his recruitment when he left. So I'm sure he'll probably make some other visits and maybe won't decide soon, but certainly seems like a decision could be coming, and it could be good news for Penn State when it does pretty much any moment.
And I'll tell you, the combination of John Dunmore, David Bell, and Emory Simmons, it's a pretty quality group. And it seems, Greg, I know we discussed this a little bit, but it seems like Penn State is committed to just getting those skill position players in bunches, figuring it all out, creating competition, and moving on. But at the same time, they're going to the 2018 season with, you know, someone could make the case with too much depth. There are some good players. It was just hard to find where they get opportunities to touch the ball, and now they're adding probably three more to that group.
Yeah, it's an interesting point for sure, because I think if most Penn State fans look at this roster, they would probably say, could probably use some more defensive tackles or defensive linemen, and could probably use a few less, you know, just really specifically wide receivers and running backs. But it's just the way this recruiting cycle has worked out. And between injuries and transfers and things like that, it's almost a situation where you're glad you have too much as opposed to having too little, I think, and you just let it all figure itself out. But certainly at the wide receiver room, David Corley has himself a challenge the same way Josh Gaddis did, in the sense that how do you keep all these guys happy when you have so many talented guys in your room and only so many starting spots to go around, and then only so many chances to touch the football from there? So it's sort of a double-edged sword in a lot of ways. You want all these guys because you think they can impact your offense in a variety of ways, but certainly you're going to have guys that eventually end up unhappy with how much they get in. So I guess the same token, though, you know, if you look at where Penn State has spent its scholarships, it probably would love to spend more along its defensive line, but it just hasn't recruited the position all that well, you know, really in the James Franklin era. I mean, this last class was fabulous, obviously, and they're working on a good one here in 2019, but overall it's just been a struggle, and I think that's why you seem to expand scholarships to some other areas that, you know, maybe it seems like they're allotting more in those areas than what we thought they would.
Looking outside the scope of the wide receiver position, Noah Kane, the four-star running back from IMG Academy in Florida. His parents, I guess, were on campus this weekend when he could not be, and then he puts out a top six and includes Penn State in that group. Is this a realistic venture for Penn State, Noah Kane?
Yeah, I think absolutely it is. You know, he's a kid that, again, you know, Jaylon Sider comes up from Florida, has very good connections with prospects in the Sunshine State, and Noah Kane's one of them. And he's an IMG Academy kid, so obviously he has all the options that one could want as a high school running back. But I think that for Penn State, they've been able to show him and his family now separately all the things that Penn State has to offer, you know, Noah Kane and the support system that his family can expect him to have when he's on campus. And obviously, he understands how Penn State's offense wants to use him. And, you know, this becomes a situation where you get Saquon Barkley as a recruiting tool, and guys even want to come into loaded potential backfields once that guy leaves just because of what he did in the offense that he was in. So I certainly think it's a possibility for Penn State.
And, you know, I think this is worth discussing further a little bit later, but there's a possibility here, Greg, where Penn State could get two running backs and two quarterbacks in the same cycle. You want to talk about a reload at those positions. And, you know, the quarterback thing would be a huge accomplishment, I think, for James Franklin, considering he's been trying to do it for 5 years. But at running back, you know, I think it makes sense in this class to get a second one. Noah Kane, I think, is the top target on the board there. Obviously, Devin Ford already in the class. But this backfield, it could get a lot deeper in a hurry in the 19 class.
Yeah, I think that's the most fascinating part to me, is that you can possibly look at a team that has 5 stars all across the board at running back and then 4 stars all across the board in the receiver room. And it's become really impressive at this point for what James Franklin and his staff have been able to do with getting guys wanting to compete with very talented players that are already committed. And you know as well as I do that there's other schools out there that have that kind of talent and that kind of production, but Penn State hasn't been one of them for a long time. And now they're roping their way back into that sort of echelon of college football that you need to be in if you want to win at the big time level. So things are certainly moving in the right direction. And if you got two quarterbacks and two running backs, you'd have to feel really good about the future of Penn State's offense, even more so than most do now.
Real quick on this one, an offer went out to Brenton Strange, who's a name that's been on the radar, hadn't gotten an offer from Penn State. He's from Parkersburg, West Virginia. He's a 3-star. Ohio State is also in the mix here, but does he look like the next big target, about 30 seconds, the next big target at tight end for Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, I think so at this point. I thought it was interesting that Penn State waited till he got on campus. They saw him camp, obviously, they saw what they liked, and decided to pull the trigger from there. So we'll see. I think that obviously he's a player that is good enough to, earn an offer from Penn State and maybe join his class as a tight end. But I'm not convinced Penn State needs a tight end. So we'll see how it plays out.
Greg Pickle on the line with us here from Penn Live, coming to us from Chicago. We're talking about Lash Bash weekend and some of the after effects there, and maybe looking ahead a little bit, speaking of quarterbacks, to Michael Johnson Jr.'s announcement coming up, scheduled for Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break, and we will resume this conversation right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.